Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another Hour of Truth. It is a beautifully hot Sunday afternoon now here in the Eastern Time Zone. I have Philip Walthall on my right, Scott Bishop on my right, and James Uessler, as usual, in left field. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon, everybody.
We had a pretty good service this morning, and then Steve came along, and somehow he always manages to bring up some the salient point that when we miss it, it is all true that how good the Lord is, and every time people successfully show Jesus Christ, demonstrate Jesus Christ, it has an almost immediate response in the natural out there in the world to everybody that witnesses it. And it, when you have a sequence of events that are ugly and somebody shows Jesus in the midst of it, it kind of chases out those who would seek to do evil and profit from the whole unfortunate incident. That is our ministry. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That is our charge. But in ministering to people, if you leave out the need to repent, then all that grace and mercy that's extended is never being, you're never bringing somebody to account. You're not closing the deal. Not closing the deal. Making them make a choice. What do you think? Is that right?
Sounds right.
So I thank Steve for that word. It is something we need to be reminded of. And because we want to be doing our job correctly. Say something, James.
Well, I mean, Steve was absolutely right with the repent, you know, and acknowledging that we have absolutely nothing to offer. You know, when we truly repent, that's we get to that place. And it's only by Jesus' blood. And to go out then and preach the gospel and bring people unto repentance, sinners just like us. Not bringing ourselves, but the gospel. Because when we repent, we acknowledge that we have nothing to offer but Jesus Christ. There's nothing good in us.
That's true.
Somebody that's walking in pride or finds themselves in pride will never get to that point of repentance. Because that point where you're repenting, that comes from a humble spirit.
Yeah, Robin put Romans 2:4 up in the chat, and that's absolutely a good thing. That's why there was no sound there, because I was trying to read. That multitasking thing, you know, running the mouth and reading at the same time, I've never...
It's easy if you're speaking that which you're reading.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the question Paul asks is, and thinkest thou this, the verse before that, O man that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? That's the whole point. That's the whole point. You change what you're doing. You turn yourself around and stop going where you've been going. Your actions change. Your desire change. There's got to be a change. Or where is the evidence that you believe the word if you haven't repented? the forbearance and goodness. What does it say? The riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. If it doesn't lead you to repentance, there's nothing changed. There's no, you've not tapped into the hope. You haven't done that last thing that shows you believe the word that was given testimony before you. It's the deal closer. And so oftentimes the gospel gets presented, but there's never the charge, the call to repent. But, and you got to close. Got to close. Got to bring them to a choice where they see they have a choice. And that's a good thing to remember. Anything anybody else has? I know we've been sitting and talking or listening for an hour or so before the show. Anything anybody else has seen or thoughts crossed their mind or something that is of any interest that we should know about? You know, this is going to be one of those. We should put something up. It is not something that I'd hoped for, a monologue for an hour, but it is an opportunity to examine our motives and our what sort of instruction we have received, and examine whether we've been doing it or not.
Are you asking me to answer that question?
Well, you broached that subject during the service.
Yeah, I see. I'm thinking to myself, is that like it? Not at all!
Yeah, well,
I thought I had someone doing something right there, but we'll find out. Not at all.
The other side of that is, it's easy to get busy and be not doing anything right at all. But it's easier to just be scared of not doing anything right and not move. And both of those have, you know, equally bad results.
Well, there's two different things that I mean, the worst thing you can do, you said, you know, both are bad. I mean, but one thing is if you are going for doing what you know to do, in the sense of, gosh, I mean, I don't even know if I can say it how I said it before. Let me try. One of absolutely not doing nothing is absolutely the worst thing you can do.
Right.
Because if you do something, at least you can get corrected on that. And that will shine an area to go forward in a right way. Even if the place where you're coming from is absolutely wrong, like totally freaking wrong, where you're coming from at all is actually wrong rooted, in a sense. But at least that can get exposed, that can be dealt with. Does that make any sense?
Right.
So absolutely doing nothing is the worst thing you can do. One of the worst things you can do.
The truth that, you know, we try to share with people is, don't be afraid that you're going to fail. You're going to fail. You're going to get it wrong all the time. That's how you learn how to get it right. You're going to mess up. Get over it. Keep going. That's really... Somehow we always migrate over to James. I don't know what it is. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's, it's going to happen. That's a when, not if. It doesn't say if, it says when. Right?
Right.
That the trying of your faith worketh patience. This is how you learn how good God is. That goodness that Paul's talking about in Romans 2:4. It's how you learn how faithful he is. It's how you learn how to trust Him for the work that He has wrought in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's a new position that just got a new position that has just come abroad the show, and I didn't recognize it was a position, but it really is a position. This is kind of a sidetrack note, a little bit of fun, but there is, it's called, like, you got the costume maker and the, you know, when you go out on a show, you know, in an act, and, you know, you get the costume maker and everything like that. There is the equipment handler, home headphone and mic guy. That would be Scott. I just realized that he's over here dressing both Paul and I up over here, getting us all ready in town. It's a neat thing.
Then there's the woeful impediment to progress. That would be me. Oh, me.
It's just over here. If you guys were here, it's funny. I wanted to kind of bring you in the studio online there for a second.
Oh, yes. Mm. The one thing I have learned over the course of time is that I should never be anywhere near any electronics.
Well, Paul, that's just... doesn't look like you're put in the position to be near them, but to be near them all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 3 feet away from your bed, a freaking little home studio here.
Yeah, and it's way out of my field of expertise.
I'm glad you can join my club. I'm not alone over here.
Oh, me. Back on point. Does somebody remember what the point was?
The point was Jesus.
That's it. And it is the goodness that His Word is so powerful. Time to do my daily move through Colossians as well. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Well, how did you receive Him?
By faith.
By faith. Usually as a result of it being in a circumstance that was not a good one. It might have taken you a while to realize how good, not good it was. But He was right there, at hand, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That's the reason, there's a reason that verse is there. There are people out there that are trying to spoil you and take you back to the traditions of men and overlay that onto the gospel. Absolutely false. That's another gospel. What does he talk about in Galatians there? That's another gospel. Let people like that be accursed. That beware verse is there because you're gonna run into that all the time. And you have to see it for what it is, know it, use your discernment to come against it. Use the truth, you know, to come against it. Because none of that has anything to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is about corrupting people and getting them so bound up that they actually separate out of the body, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is who he is, the exact representation of who God is. He's not diminished, he's not secondary, he is who God is. And you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. It is whether you acknowledge it or not. It is whether your hearer acknowledges it or not. It simply is. And only in him can you be complete. And what does that mean? It means when in the womb, when your spirit was severed from the body.
You mean after coming at birth?
At birth, I mean.
Yeah.
In the womb, you're connected.
Yeah.
Birth.
At birth, or when your spirit starts severed from the body. Good thing I have somebody to catch that. I'd hate to have that go out and stay there. It has been reconnected through Jesus Christ. That's what that's all about. You're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also are you circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of flesh by the circumcision of Jesus Christ. This is the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you have risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. That's an interesting verse. Through the faith of the operation of God. Whose faith? Jesus' faith. That the operation was of God, and he was able to do it. That he was willing to do it. And the proof is he raised him from the dead. He didn't stay in the tomb. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, given life with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And you know, when you get this knowledge presented to you, people to testify about this operation that God has ordained and given out for you to be able to partake of. The challenge is, now what are you going to do with this? Are you going to repent, turn away from the wicked? Are you going to count everything that has gone before you dung and chase after him with everything you got? This is the kind of awesome word that makes that question. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. The truth testifies against us. Charges, we were guilty. He took that and tore up the charge sheet, caused charges to be dropped. And having spoiled principalities and powers, principality and powers were after you. They wanted your blood. They wanted to destroy you. He made a shoe of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He showed them to be out without power, without any strength. It was actually a humiliation. They're never going to admit to that, but that was the case. And he was able to do that because in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's executing what he intended to execute. This is his plan. Praise God, we get to partake of his plan. If it ever becomes our plan, it's not about him.
Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holiday, holy day, or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. I wonder how many times in here it makes an allusion to the fact that the body is of Christ. The church is the body.
It's very clear.
Yes. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. This stuff looks real good. I mean, it really looks like you're special, which is about puffing people up in pride. The absolute opposite of how you get God to move on your behalf, on your knees in humility, saying, "Lord, I've messed it up. I can't go another minute unless you move on me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Help me, Lord." That gets his attention. He will respond. But all this stuff designed to look good before other people is really showing that you desire to please other people and not the Lord. Well, you've been instructed in error, or you've received, I don't know. But it's not something you can continue in. You got to run away from that. Worshiping the angels, intruding those things which he have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from whom all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. It is that increase that is the increase of God, is you growing and learning how to partake more fully, become more successful at pleasing the Lord, at more profitable in showing who he is to other people. This is all good stuff that you're supposed to be. It's why you submit to authority over you. It's why you count on and rely on correction. It's to keep sure that you're in play and you're not being deceived by these rudiments of men and traditions of men. And what, you know, everybody wants to be liked. But if your job is, what you're doing is seeking to be liked by men who would minister death unto you, why would you do that? Rather turn and receive from the minister of light, the minister of truth. Yeah, okay, that truth doesn't testify well against me. It doesn't feel good when it testifies against me. It does testify against me. But that's under my salvation, not under my destruction. Right?
I mean, why would you try... Well, I know why people do, but folks trying to be liked by men.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't profit you much, if anything. Well, it really doesn't profit you at all to be liked of men, but to be loved of God and to gain his favor, that's where we need to be. That's what it's all about. That's how you unlock that increase from God.
Wherefore it be, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why is the living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. What's the point? So you can impress somebody with how good you have followed their precepts? That's interesting, but that's bondage. That's again overlaying works on top of the gospel. the gospel is about Jesus Christ and how good he is. And, you know, one of the things that Jesus addresses, you know, when you do what you do to be seen of men, you have your reward in full.
Yeah.
That's it. That's as good as you're going to get. Yeah. That's not a testimony I want. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. But that doesn't give you doesn't bring you life. It just shows that you're willing to sacrifice to be told you're good by a man.
Right, and that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
It's that philios love.
Yeah.
And that's not the love of God. If you truly want to love yourself, love God, love your neighbor.
In verse 20, he asks the question, you know, wherefore if you be dead with Christ, or he makes the proposition that to be dead with Christ in chapter 3, verse 1, it's if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And it's like we've heard here in recent days, if you be in Christ, you're there with him. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. None of this stuff here is going to last, and none of it's profitable. Setting your affection on things that are above means I want to be pleased to please the Lord. I have to change my attitude from seeking to please me all the time to seeking to please him. That's setting your affections on things that are above. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's it. That's what I was talking about. And if he's sitting on the right hand side of the Father in heaven, that's where you are in him. That's how good is that? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's how you get there. And that blood that he shed over the altar for us is still alive. It still has that life. It still makes a difference for me today, me tomorrow, me the next day, for you today, for you tomorrow, for you the next day. It has all the power that it did the day it was shed. It covered sin from the beginning to the end. It was adequate to the task, and it completed the task. And it's still alive.
Amen.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That's one of those definitions of idolatry, everything else that he just mentioned. It's all idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, into which you walked sometime when you lived in them. Now you put off all this stuff. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Why not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds? You know, I always find that an interesting thing to throw in there. why not to one another? Most of us don't consider that we ever do that, but that's why he get tapped on the shoulder and says, that wasn't true. Why'd you say that? Well, it was easier to say that. Because they the same point. No, well, it was a lie. You know, it's crazy how we are. And you put off the old man with his deeds. That's a deed of the old man. Making judgments without knowledge or discernment. And choosing to follow his own intellect as that being the end all and be all. Deciding an arbiter of the correctness with which we act. And it's not. That's a lie. That too is idolatry. And to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Doesn't play favorites. Treats everybody the same. Everybody needs his blood, his redemption, his forgiveness. Everybody needs his lordship, which is simply choosing to submit to his will. Everybody's subject to it. There's nothing particularly special about that. But choosing to submit to it as Lord. As Lord. How can I please you today, Lord? Absolutely contrary to the old man. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you also, do ye. And that is showing people Jesus. You know, that's that kid at the I guess he was at Charleston Southern. They had some kind of gathering. That kid saying, look, my mother loved people. And hate and evil can't stay around that kind of love. I choose to forgive. That was just an incredible testimony. He played baseball for Charleston Southern. And mother was a track and field coach at Goose Creek High School. That was an amazing testimony. And it is really what's been happening around here is because they reacted with that. All that embroilment and bitterness that rabble-rousers who would seek to promote themselves, it took all the air out of them.
It took all the air right out of the balloon.
Yeah. And that's praise God, because people actually got to see somebody showing who Jesus was about, what Jesus was about, what he is like, and that can be how we choose to be. The fact that we can choose to be that way and have the opportunity to demonstrate him to other people. I can't think of a more obvious demonstration of that working. And the outcome has been of that stretches so massively beyond where that conversation was held. It's just amazing. I don't know why it's amazing. That's the way it's supposed to be.
It shouldn't be amazing. That's how it should be, exactly.
This word is powerful. It is truth. It can change the lives of people you demonstrate it around. It is life. It is light. It is profitability in the Lord. Why wouldn't you want to do that? After considering what all he has done for you. All he says is love God, love one another. That's all he says, love God, love one another. And if you spend your time seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. They didn't say some of these things, depending on how we feel today. It says all of these things. You wrap your arms around that. It's not an if. It is an is.
Amen.
Anybody else have anything to say? Speak up, because I'm fixing to rap.
All I'll say is, let's make that choice.
Absolutely. Make that choice. The other admonition I would say is, examine yourself whether you be in the faith, lest you be reprobate. And again, the same book, I believe 2 Corinthians, it says, I think it's chapter 5, verse 17, any man be in Christ Jesus, he be a new creature, new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. If there's no difference between you now and the day you first had the gospel presented to you, there's a problem, Houston. I should say the day before you had the gospel presented to you. And with that, I will just say, if you come up short, repent. Recommit to the Lord. He's right there at hand. He hasn't run ahead. Like Philip said, that would have been unrighteous of him to do. He hasn't run ahead. He's still right there. He's waiting for you to have that light bulb over your head moment. Ding, 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 ding. Alrighty, well, I think that's a wrap. I thank y'all for joining us this week at the Hour of Truth. Say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye guys.
Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye, guys.
May the Lord bless y'all. Have a real great afternoon and a great rest of the week.